إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and defined the reason why He created us in two ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the reason for our creation at an individual personal level, where He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, we have not created the insan, human beings and jinn for any purpose other than our ibadat, other than our worship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the purpose of our creation collectively and said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are the best of people and you have been selected from the people for the benefit of the people, and you enjoin and you promote and you order good, everything which is good, and you prevent and you stop everything which is evil, and you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another way of looking at these two definitions is that the first definition is the definition of huququllah, and the second definition is the definition of huququl ibad. The first definition is the definition of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us, and the second definition is the definition of the rights of people on us. The reason I say this is because among the many misguidances and the many mistaken ideas that we seem to have about our religion is that we seem to look at it as one versus the other. So this is like saying, should I eat breakfast or should I eat lunch? It is not a question of should I do this or should I do that. Should I wear a shirt or should I wear a trousers? You know, should I wear a shirt or should I wear trousers? I mean, both are required. It's not a question of saying, should I wear a shirt? It's okay if you wear trousers. You need not wear a shirt. It's okay if you wear a shirt, you don't have to wear trousers. I mean, you would not even make such a statement. But we see these kinds of statements made all the time. For example, people will say, if somebody is not praying, does not pray at all, somebody will say, no, it's okay, you know, as long as you have a good heart, as long as you are good to people. Now my point is, first and foremost, first question is this, which is that who gives you the right to legislate in the name of Islam? Are you the Prophet? Are you receiving Wahi? Are you Allah incarnated in this dunya? What are you? Who has the right to legislate in this deen except Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he passed away, there is no one who has the right to legislate in this deen. So who are you to say that this is okay and that is okay, when this is not supported by either the kalam of Allah or the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So somebody told me the other day that a man came to someone of his relatives and said, I don't pray. And I am now feeling that maybe I should pray. See this, Ajib. This man himself is saying, I do not pray, I have never prayed. But I feel that I should pray. What do you think? And this gentleman, who himself prays, I don't know how regularly he prays, but he prays. He says, no, it's okay. As long as your heart is good, as long as you are good to people, it's okay, you need not pray. The problem with a statement like that is, first of all, looking at it from purely the hukum angle, if you are telling somebody it is okay not to pray, this is kufr, because this is something which is against the kalam of Allah itself. So even though you are praying, you are committing kufr, and somebody who came to ask you for some guidance, you are misguiding that person. Number two question is, you are saying it is okay not to pray, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, al ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah, فَمَنْ عَرَضَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. He said the difference, the ahad, the covenant, the dividing line, the differentiator between them, meaning people who are not Muslim, and the Muslims is the salah. The one who left it has committed kufr, has left Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, in Surah Al-Mudassir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people who will be taken into Jahannam, and the Malaika will ask them before they are thrown into the fire. They will say, وَمَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What is it that got you into this mess? What is it that got you into the Saqar, into Jahannam? And what will they say? They will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. They will say, we were not among those who prayed. Meaning that we did not pray, therefore we are in the hellfire. Now Allah is saying this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, but you say that prayer is not necessary. Now who should we believe? You want me to believe Allah? You want me to believe Rasulullah? Or you want me to believe you? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the issue. Second point is, just a simple issue of logic. If only having a good heart, whatever that means, Allah only knows what is the meaning of saying, as long as your heart is good. What is the meaning of good? A heart that does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it good? But anyway, whatever that means. If only this was required, then what was the need for the Nabi? What was the need for the Kitab of Allah? What was the need for Islam? There was no need for anything. Right? You have a good heart, khalas. Do whatever you think is right. The reason I'm saying that is because there seems to be a lot of confusion in this regard. On the other hand, you have people who are saying, oh, but you know, this person, he prays 5 times a day, but he lies and he cheats and he does this and he does that and he's got business haram and whatnot. Now, the simple thing to understand is, it is not an either-or situation. It's not a mutually exclusive situation. It's not that as long as I am praying, everything else is halal. How can it be halal? The prayer is supposed to remind you of what is halal and what is haram. What Allah has permitted is halal, what Allah has not permitted is haram. Which means that the effect of the prayer, effect of the salah must go outside the masjid and must be reflected in every action, every decision, every speech, everything that we do. If that is not happening, then it means that something is very seriously wrong with the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna salata Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Verily the salah separates you from and removes you from and distances you from everything which is fahushat and munkarat, everything which is shameless, everything which is sinful, and everything which is rebellious to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If my salah is not doing that, then my salah is defective. I must look at my salah and say, what is the good of my praying when I am at the same time I am lying and cheating and slandering and backbiting and deception, and I say something and I do something else and so on and so on. What is the good of my salah if this is what I am doing? I always remember something that happened to me when I first came back from the US in 2000. I was invited to relatives of mine only, but big family group, and they asked me to speak. They said, please give us some advice. So, just before the people are getting ready and they are all sitting down, and it's all one family, so it's all, brothers and sisters and cousins and so on. So, as they were getting ready and all sitting down, one young guy comes to me. He must be about, 12 or 13 or 14, something like this. He comes to me and he whispers in my ear. He tells me, Uncle Yavar, tell them to stop swallowing other people's lands. He said, tell them to stop swallowing other people's properties. Now, my point is that this is a 12, 14-year-old kid who is talking. Who is he talking about? He's talking about his own parents. He's talking about his own uncles and aunts. Tell them, who's the them? Them is his own family. So, if this is what you are doing, how do you expect your children to respect you? You think you tell lies, the children don't see? You are doing ghiba, the children don't see? You are saying one thing, you meet somebody with very great, oh mashallah, how are you? Then when the person is gone, you slander him. You think the children don't see this? How will they respect you? How will they respect you? Where is the respect going to come from? The children know you are a liar, you are a cheater, your word has no value. And you expect the children to, how will they respect you? Islam is a combination of huququllah and huququl ibad. It is not one at the expense of the other. It's not okay to say, as long as I am an honest person, I am a compassionate person, I am a kind person, I don't have to pray. No, sorry. There was no one more honest and more compassionate. There was no one who had greater integrity. There was no one who had greater strength of character than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did not miss one single salah in his entire life. Even when he had to be carried to the masjid, he came to the masjid and prayed. He didn't pray at home. So if somebody says that, you know, as long as your heart is good, whose heart is better than the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If someone says, as long as your akhlaq are good, whose akhlaq are better than the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If someone says, as long as you are honest, who is more honest than the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If someone says, as long as you are compassionate, who is more compassionate than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to all of these characters in the Quran with respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Raufur Rahim, wabil mu'minina Raufur Rahim. Allah gave His own titles to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of His compassion and kindness. But did he pray? This is not an opinion. Did he pray or did he not pray? Did he miss a single salah ever in his whole life? So if somebody says, no, as long as you are doing all this good stuff, prayer is not important, then you are talking to a person who is jahil, who has no sense, is telling you nonsense. Why do you believe it? Vice versa, the same thing. If somebody believes that as long as they are giving some charity and so on, the rest of their life is halal for them, they can do whatever they want. Sorry, that doesn't work either. Huququllah and huququl ibad are both intrinsically and dynamically collected. One affects the other. That's why I say factor Allah into the equation, because He is in it anyway. If someone believes that by disobeying Allah, any khair can come in his life, anything good can come in his life, sorry, that's not going to happen. It's not possible. You cannot get goodness in your life by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, or by going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why always Islam is very simple. Just get these one or two principles right and you can't go wrong, inshallah mustah. But if you don't get these principles right, then the life is full of confusion. There is no khair in the disobedience of Allah. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And the other issue also becomes that, you know, if I do this, then somebody will be offended and people will... Forget about the people. People are not important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no obedience to the creature in the disobedience of Allah. There is no obedience to the creature. Who is the creature? Anyone. Masiv Allah. Whoever accepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the disobedience of Allah. If Allah prohibited something, then when you follow that prohibition, if this offends somebody else, that is not your problem. Whoever that other person is, maybe your own father, your own mother. Sadly, we live in a situation where parents are supposed to guide children. Instead of that, parents are misguiding children. Parents are misguiding children. The source of fitna in the house are the parents, not the children. So, therefore, forget about all that. As long as you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter who is offended, that's not your problem. If you try to please people and you offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a very big problem. And therefore, I remind myself and you, let us focus on these two things. We have to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is His worship in all the different ways. And we have to fulfill the rights of the people, which is by being good to the people, by being beneficial to the people, by enjoining what is good and by forbidding what is evil. Inshallah. We talk more about this tomorrow. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.